Once upon a time, God created a good and beautiful world. Page one of the Bible is a poem all about it. It's a poem that describes creation as a really, really freaking productive week. I don't know if you're productivity-minded, but God is really blowing us out of the water here. I've been here a long time, and I have never created a single planet. He managed it in a week. And of course, it's a poem. You can take it however you want. But in the poem, there's 3 days of making beautiful places, the sea and the land and the sky. And that's followed by 3 days of filling those places with things, wonderful living things, filling the heavens with stars and angels, filling the seas with fish and sea monsters, and filling the land with raccoons and humans. And at the end of these 6 amazing days of productivity, God stopped being productive. He just stopped. He liked working, but it was a day to stop because he had made so much wonderful things. God is wise. God knew to stop and step back and just look at it and just spend a whole day just thinking about how good it was. And just pronounce the goodness of everything that he had made and enjoy what a cool thing he had done. God's a wise person. He knew that there was a time to do this thing that in Hebrew is called Shabbat. In modern English, we pronounce it Sabbath. But on the 7th day, he had a Shabbat. Shabbat means to stop, to rest, and to delight. I think God loves working, but God is no workaholic. He knows how to take a day. And an interesting thing about the Bible, this thing, from page one all the way to the very end, this theme, this right here, Shabbat, Sabbath, is a theme that permeates every single book within that whole library of Scripture, that it's somehow a big deal. It's a bigger deal than seems natural to me. It's one of those things that stands out. It's like, you know, God wants me to not kill people, wants me to not lie, not cheat on my wife, and he also wants me to take a day. Why is this so important? Today, we're going to look at something that the Bible has to say, where God talks with us about this idea of his, that taking some time off is a good idea. And today, we're going to learn about it, and learn how to practice it for ourselves. You ever wonder why we have a 7-day week? It's actually a hard thing to answer. It's a thing that it's in the Bible, of course, and that's a big part of it. But even cultures that didn't have the Bible, almost all cultures everywhere have a 7-day week or something pretty close to it. There's something about that rhythm that is natural, that seems to be built into us, and arguably built into creation itself. That the universe cares about this number 7, this cycle, this pattern of 6 days on and 1 day off. Somehow that's built in to us and to the world. Bodybuilders have figured out that they can lift weights for 6 days, but then they need to take a day, that they need to give their muscles a break. And that if they don't do that, they won't build muscle as fast. Some researchers at Harvard Business School did a study of productivity. They looked at the difference in productivity between people who worked 50 hours, which is about 6 days, versus people who worked 70 hours. It's a pretty big difference, right? Zero increase in productivity. Zero. That's science. I believe in data, and that is some good data, because I don't want to work 70 hours. Granted, sometimes I do. And that's why God is very kind in giving us this gift called Sabbath. Back in the French Revolution, they tried to try a lot of new things, and one of the things was that they tried to make a 10-day metric work week. The French, what are you going to do? And as soon as they did that and implemented it, Productivity plummeted, for one thing. Suicides skyrocketed. That experiment did not last long. We're not made for 10. We're made for 7. It's there. It's there. And God gives us it as a pattern for us to follow. And whenever I hear about the idea of Sabbath, Sabbath is an ancient practice of working for 6 days and then stopping and taking a day off. That's it. Taking a day to stop, to rest, and to be delighted in everything about my life and everything about the world around me. That's the pattern of Sabbath. And when I hear about that, I salivate just a little bit. I mean, because that sounds good, right? I mean, think about the things that delight you, the things that make your heart sing. When was the last time you did them? When was the last time you spent a day doing the thing that delights you? Think about that. So when I hear about it, it seems healthy, it seems right, it seems just good. Now, as I move on in talking about this, I know that for most of us here, we're having some reactions to the idea. And the reaction goes something like this generally. I have way too much to do, and I get it. I have a to-do list that is big. Every day, I check a couple things off it, and I add 5, 6, 7 more. My list is always getting longer. I have a hard time Sabbathing. It's harder for me than it is for God. Or maybe it took effort for God. I don't know. It takes effort for me to take a day and trust God enough to keep carrying the universe without me. So here's this question. If this is the pattern of life, are you living in accordance with reality? Does your lifestyle reflect this pattern that is built into you and is objectively there? Or are you trying to live in some way that contradicts reality? I would say for most of us, the answer is yes. That a 7-day work week is probably a thing for all of us. And I don't just mean your job. I mean the stuff that you do for yourself. The standard pattern that I know of, and it's really what I have practiced in the past, is 5 days of work, working for somebody else, and then 2 days of working for myself, doing the things that have to be done around the house. Taxes are a thing, I've heard, and I had to spend a lot of time doing that. That's generally how we work. And when this idea of Sabbath comes up, yes, I feel drawn to it. I salivate. I like the idea of delight. But I also get two reactions whenever I talk with someone about Sabbath. I get either shame or defensiveness. It's pretty standard whenever I bring up this topic. And it's how I respond when I think about this topic. Being ashamed that I'm not doing this thing that I should do. And also realizing, oh, here's another thing I've got to put on my already too long to-do list. Ugh. And you know what? I'm too busy. I'm too important to stop. I like working. Working feels good. That's how I'm going to Sabbath. I'm just going to keep working because I like it. Those are pretty common responses. So right off, I'd like to say that everything that we're going to talk about here today, it's not a thing to shame you about. It's not even a should. Sabbath is the way that you are made. And if you work with it, life will be better. Sabbath is like ice cream. It's really, really good. And if you haven't had ice cream, I hope you have some ice cream, because it's great. Life with ice cream is so much better than life without ice cream. But if you don't have any, no skin off my nose, I'm going to have ice cream. But I really hope you do too. I think if you do, you'll find it was worth it. You'll be glad you put out the effort. So it's in that vein that we're going to talk today about this practice called Sabbath, this practice of stopping, resting, and delighting. So we're going to read in today, We're going to read in Deuteronomy. If you've got a Bible with you, open it. Yeah, I've decided that I'm going to always be bringing a Bible to church. That just makes sense to me. But Deuteronomy is maybe 25% in. So find that spot. That's around where Deuteronomy's at. And we're going to be in Deuteronomy 5. This is one of the places where God gives us the Ten Commandments. There's two spots in the Bible. This is the second one. And we get these bullet points about how to live. Here's just some really fundamental pocket guide, basic bullet points of how to live, of how to be together without killing each other. And of course, one of them is the bullet point of don't kill each other. That's one step. Basically, it's a commentary on how to love God and how to love others. The first three commandments are notions about how to love God. The final, what is that, six? Yeah, the final six are ways about loving others. But then there's the fourth one, the one kind of just in front of the middle. The fourth one, where suddenly, if you look at this in your Bible, it's kind of interesting. It looks like this. That number four is not a bullet point. Number four is like a story and a couple paragraphs long. I remember when I was little, I had to memorize the Ten Commandments for church school, and that was the thing. And we memorized the short version. Like, we condensed the fourth into a bullet point. But then when I got older and got to another grade of kids' church, I had to memorize the long version. And the long version is so much longer because it includes that whole paragraph. It's some of that paragraph that we're going to read. Deuteronomy 5. It's going to teach us how to practice Sabbath. Here we go. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Now there's quite a lot there. We're going to pick this apart. The first thing that's important for practicing Sabbath that I notice in here is that you got to work. If you want a Sabbath, the first thing to do is to work for 6 days. For some of us, this commandment is challenging us to stop working for a day. I think there might be some of us where working at all sounds like a thing that maybe you need to hear. I would say I have a naturally lazy personality. I like to sit. I like to read. And I was raised by people who knew the value of work, and they made me do it. I didn't always like it, but I like what it turned me into. Work is good. Work is beautiful. Work is a necessary part of a good and happy and good-feeling life. So, yeah, remember to work. One place where work is very necessary is at church. I'm going to give this a plug. There are important things going on in the world. Making a living for your family, that's an important thing. Another important thing is that God is invading the world with love, with gentleness, and with peace. And church is the place where God is succeeding. The church is the group of people who know that God is king and who are working on being good subjects of his kingdom. That's what church is. It's terribly important. It's how God is saving the world. It's not saving the world any other way. It's through Jesus leading his church and loving God and loving others. That's what saves the world. What I do here is very important at church. I prioritize church. Whenever I think of Sabbath, I have to start thinking of things that I'm going to take out of my life, things that I'm going to stop doing. Church is immune from that list. Church always gets my work. Moving on, how to practice Sabbath? Number one, work. Don't forget that part. And then number two, stop. It's easy to say, it's harder to do. I get that completely. That is the most basic meaning of the Hebrew Shabbat. It means stop. You've been doing great work. You have great goals. You've moved toward them. Now stop working toward your goals. Your goals are good. Productivity is good. But they're not who you are. And every week, God gives us this gift called Sabbath to remind us that we are not the ones carrying the world. Did you hear that song that we just sang? to God, God, you are holding everything. I think some of us need to hear that a little bit every single day. And a way to especially hear it is to hear it once a week by the fact that you stop doing your terribly important things and to realize that the world keeps spinning when you stop because God's the one holding everything. It's a comforting thing. It's also a little blow to the ego, but that's good. It's a comforting thing to know that God is taking care of things and I'm not the one holding the world. And I'm fully aware of how impossible this sounds for a lot of us. Your to-do list is huge, so is mine. People depend on me. I am so far behind already. When I get caught up, then I'll give this a try. I have the same reactions that you do. I get it. So three Saturdays ago, this is my Sabbath story. Three Saturdays ago, I was working on this sermon. I was starting to write it. I had a lot of other things that needed to be done too. I had like five urgent things on my to-do list that needed to be done immediately. One of them was taxes. But instead, I worked on this. And as I wrote this sermon and put all these ideas together, I was worrying about all the things that I wasn't doing. I know what it's like to have a to-do list that you're behind on. And I was feeling anxiety. It was not a great day. I was really not in the mood to write a sermon. But then I heard my spiritual doorbell ring. You know what that's like. I suddenly felt like God had something to say. And it had something to do with what I was writing my sermon about. Quite often, God preaches sermons to me, and then I preach them to you. That's how this works. But I heard my spiritual doorbell ring, and it was God dropping off a gift, like the Amazon guy. So it was God dropping off a gift for me, because he loves me. It's a gift called Sabbath. It's like a gift of, like a box of ice cream. It's like, oh, thanks. And ice cream's good. And I was thinking about that. You know what? I'm going to eat that ice cream, was what I decided. I felt to really be able to speak the sermon well, I had to give it more of a try. I had to push my Sabbath practice farther than it already was. So here's what I did. I went and made a fresh cup of coffee, because coffee makes me feel close to God. And I went outside. It was one of those really nice springy days in early April. And I set up my hammock, and I laid down in it. I'm like, okay, I can take an hour. I don't think I can do 24 hours. I'll work up to that. I can do an hour. It was very hard for me to do. I kind of didn't want to, because I knew I had so much to do. But I laid down in my hammock with my coffee, took a picture, and then I turned my phone off. My phone really likes to get my attention and distract me, tell me all the things that I should be doing that I'm not. So I turned it off. And I just laid there with God. I listened to the birds. I felt the wind. I smiled at God. He smiled back. And we were just there. And we were happy. That was an easy way to fill an hour. It really was. And you know what? At the end of that hour, I started thinking, you know, I could probably do this another hour. So I did. I could do more than I thought that I could. That was nice to hear, nice to discover. That's Sabbath. I don't know if you have any background in practicing Sabbath. Maybe it was given to you as a legalistic or difficult thing, as you can't do anything fun. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the delight that God felt on that seventh day. I'm interested in entering into delight. And that day I did. And you know what? The rest of the week felt different because I did that. You know, after 2 hours, I went back to my sermon. God went with me. And it felt easier. It felt like a labor of love rather than a labor of anxiety that I have to get done because I don't want to look silly when I'm up on stage in front of people not knowing what to talk about. It became a labor of love. And that's what Sabbath is for. It's setting aside one day, or even a piece of a day, to make the whole week different. We've got some tips in the Bible, in this passage, about how to practice Sabbath. And here's one of them. All you got to do is block out a piece of time. Listen to this in verse 12, right at the top there. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That might not sound practical, but it actually is. Keeping it holy means, very simply, to set it apart from the other days of the week. Get a block of time that is defined, has a beginning, has an end. That's what it means to make something holy. Draw a line around it. Choose a time slot that will work. A good goal is 24 hours, seriously. I think that's what we're made for. I think that's where we want to go. I'm not there yet. My current goal is a block of time on Saturday, between noon and 3. In the past 3 weeks, I have done that once successfully. I'm going to keep working at it. I'm going to get it to where that 3 hours is a holy space that I do not mess with. And whenever I do it, it becomes very not hard to do because it feels really, really good. I'm so tired sometimes. Right? I mean, it's a busy time to exist in the world. To be able to push back on that for 3 hours and just chill with God and to delight, I mean, and to rest and think about what would be delightful for me to do right now. One time I was doing this, and the delightful idea that came to mind was to go read Leviticus. I don't know where that came from, but it was wonderful. I realize that's bizarre. That's a sermon for the future. But choose a time slot. Choose an hour. I think something more than an hour is good. I feel like it takes about an hour to get in the zone. You know how it takes energy to clench a muscle? It also takes the same amount of energy to unclench it. And unclenching yourself is a skill. It takes some time to learn. It won't be easy at first. It'll get easy. You just have to get good at it. One way that I keep this space holy, with this line, I pay very close attention to the ritual of starting it and stopping it. An ancient Israelite practice is to light a candle at the beginning. And there's a specific prayer that goes along with it, and you do it as a family. For me, my ritual is to, A, make a really good cup of coffee and really pay attention to what I'm putting in it and the proportions. I just make it excellent coffee. And then I step outside. Most of my life happens indoors. So whenever I go outside, it's a signal to me that something special is happening, that I'm entering into a different kind of space, a different kind of time. And I look at God, and he looks at me, and we smile. And we're just happy for a minute. And then I go for the hammock. That's how Sabbath is working for me right now. Sometimes it involves Leviticus. So try something like that for yourself. Find a time. Pick what you can do. If you can do 24 hours, I think that's perfect. If you can only do an hour, fine. Just start where you're at. Do what's doable. And make the time transition clear. Make those lines really, really strong in your mind. That's what it means to keep it holy. And the other word there, rather than keeping it holy, there's also observe the Sabbath. Now, observe is a really interesting word. It's a word that means watch. It's what you do when you are a shepherd. You have a bunch of sheep to take care of because they're vulnerable, and you're going to protect them. You're keeping watch, you're guarding, you're protecting vulnerable and valuable things. That's what it means to observe something. So what you want to do, once you have that block, protect that block with your life, because it is worth being protective. Those 3 hours that I block off for Sabbath, they are gold. My to-do list is a beast, and it sees those 3 empty hours, and it thinks about how many things that I could check off if I used those 3 hours, if I stopped them from being holy, if I took that box away. Oh, it would help my life so much. You got to protect the block. I find that the Sabbath is well kept when I approach it like a mama bear with a baby bear. My baby bear is very cute, He's very, very valuable to me. He's precious. And nobody gets to mess with Baby Bear. That's how I have to approach Sabbath. This block of time, it is my baby bear, and I'm going to take care of it. And then rest and delight. That's it. Find what's delightful for you. As some guidelines, I can say, do something out of the ordinary. Like I said, a lot of my life is indoors in front of a laptop. So I try to make my Sabbaths outdoors and technology-free. I do recommend turning off your phone. Your phone is a way of monetizing your attention. And the people who make money off you whenever you use your phone, they have discovered that the best way to get your attention is to make you angry and to make you afraid. That's what your phone is in your pocket for. Turn it off. Give yourself a break from that, just for a space of time, every week. One thing I've noticed that when I've known people who have been raised with Sabbath, and it's very natural to them, because it's never occurred to them that they would work more than that. That if you're working 7 days a week, really, really hard, working your tail off, it's because you have put your life together that way. That you have managed your schedule in a way that needs that much time. When you approach Sabbath and you're planning, one of the most important things you can do, try to find something that you can subtract. I did find that I spent a lot of time in the bathroom, strangely. Not because I need to, but because I like, when I go to the bathroom, I play a game on my phone. And it's like, oh, okay, I just spent 45 minutes in the bathroom, and it could have taken one. There are things that you can subtract. That's all I'm saying. Look for things to subtract, and subtract them until you have enough time left to have a day. Now, as the worship team comes forward, I'd like to close up, and I want to remind you what I said. Sabbath is like ice cream. It's good. It's good to gorge yourself on. I really advise all of this about ice cream. And I also advise it about God, and that's what the tables here are about. There's the bread that is a symbol of Christ's body. There's wine and grape juice that are a symbol of his blood. And these aren't just symbols of death. Even more than that, they are symbols of life, about God's own life coming to fill you. That's how you were made to function. It's how you were designed. And one of the ways that we do that is by stopping and resting and finding delight in God. So we're going to pray, and then you're going to come forward and dip your bread into the wine or the juice, and you're going to eat it. And I want you to think of it as ice cream. Think of it as Sabbath. Let's pray. God, we come to your table today with a hunger for you. A hunger for the delight that you feel in your creation, the delight that you feel in us. Please fill us with your delight and your joy and your very life. Amen.